We're keeping on the food topic line here as we move along on the Ideas Network, and really pleased to welcome back Wave Kasparik, who's chef and co-owner of the Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello, Wisconsin. And he's been they've been in business now, he and his wife Jane, for 13 years?
It'll be 13 years in September.
Wow, it's an amazing restaurant. French food with a Southwest and a Cajun twist. And we're going to be talking with him about the art of cooking. And we'll talk with him about, of course, about the restaurant. Talk with him about cooking classes. He teaches some classes. And certainly we'll answer your questions as we move along today. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can also email us at talk@WPR.org, And if you've been a diner at the Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello, I hope you will call in, too, and let us know about your experiences. That'd be fun, too. Again, 1-800-642-1234. And, Wave, you've... How did the restaurant get started? Let's go back to the beginnings on this. It's been a long time since you've been on the show.
Mm-hmm. It was my mother-in-law's fault. Absolutely. We had moved. Jane and I had moved to Monticello, bought our first home, and we're still working in Madison restaurants at the time. And then my mother-in-law moved down to Monticello shortly after us, which is not a bad thing at all.
No,
she's a great woman. And there was this empty storefront. It was a tavern that had closed down, and she said, "I'm thinking of buying this building. Do you want to open a restaurant?" And we said, "No, we don't." She said, "We'll give it a year, and if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out." And here we are, almost 13 years later.
13 years mm-hmm. later, and Monticello is not a huge town to support a fine dining restaurant.
It is not. Its population about 1,200, 1,300, but we don't rely specifically on the town. We pull probably from about an hour radius drive time. Yeah. The majority Madison area and outlying towns, Janesville, Freeport, Illinois is about 45 minutes south of us, so we pull a lot from that area also. And a lot of Chicagoans mm-hmm. vacationing using the bike trail in the summer, mm-hmm. coming to New Glarus for its various festivals and to tour the brewery and all that. So from all over.
Yeah, from all over. And you characterize your food as French food with a Southwest and Cajun twist?
Well, maybe years ago. It continues to evolve, but I think it's more of, I think one food writer had coined it Midwestern fusion, which, you know, if you want to make up your own mind there. But I love Southwestern cuisine. I love putting different ethnic influences in the food. But you can still find mashed potatoes on the menu.
Yeah.
And so
you can, but give us a signature dish that you've tried recently or had recently.
I think probably our signature entree right now is we have habanero and cornmeal crusted pork cutlets.
Ooh.
And those come with cheddar grits and a poblano cream sauce and a roasted pepper tortilla salad. So a definite Southwestern influence there. That is. I think I change the menu several times a year, and I think I've been threatened by guests if I take it off that they will rebel. So,
oh, it sounds wonderful. Jim in Wisconsin Rapids is up. Let's go to Jim here. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you, and I have more of a mashed potato type question, but I like real thick tenderloins that are crispy on the outside, but then rare to medium rare on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And one place I heard that restaurants actually boil them until they reach 112 degrees or something like that, then somehow fry it or something. But I wondered, how can one do that at home?
You need, if you're going to do it inside on the stovetop, like in a saute pan, you need it to be extremely hot, and you need good ventilation because you're going to get lots of smoke. You know, oil in the pan, or if you're going to do it out on the grill, just a really, really hot spot on the grill because you want to get the outside charred before it cooks through so you can still have that medium rare on the inside.
So you don't have to warm it up somehow ahead of time?
Nope, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Do you put anything on it beforehand?
You know, just salt and pepper seasoning, or if you have, you know, if you like garlic salt or something like that, you can put that on it also.
Yeah. Hey, Mrs. Dash is good, too.
There you go.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Jim, for calling. Appreciate it. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Mark in Rubicon next. Mark, hi. Thank you for calling.
He had me at Cheddar Grits. Had a great meal in Whitefish, Montana. It was Low Country shrimp and grits, and I've been dying to learn how to make cheddar grits.
Well, you can, if you're interested in my recipe, you can definitely email us through our website, which is 209main.com. I'm always happy to give out recipes. I have no secrets or anything like that, so...
So what's the website again?
It's 209main.com.
209main.com.
Mm-hmm.
You got it.
I'll get it and I'll come and try it first. It sounds really great. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And you've just finished your 10th year of teaching cooking classes, by the way.
Yeah, we just finished our 10th year of teaching them at the restaurant. We have our regularly scheduled ones in January, February, and March, which is our slow time of the year because of,
weather.
Snow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they have been, wow, this year was really, really successful. I think I filled every spot. And I also teach a few classes here at Orange Tree Imports down on Monroe Street.
In Madison.
Yep. Just did a class there last week.
And how does the class... What's the makeup of the class?
Well, I do two different styles. The main style is students come in, they get recipes, they observe in the kitchen as I prepare the food, ask questions, so I can show them different techniques, cooking styles. And then when we're done in the kitchen, we go back out into the dining room, have a few tastes of wine that Jane sets up, so they get a little bit of wine education, and then... We eat, and nobody leaves hungry.
And it would bet.
And then the second style I call Chef for a Day. It's a hands-on class. I have four students, and they come in on a Sunday about 1:15, and I have a six-course menu laid out. I have recipes for them, and they prepare the food. Uh-huh. And, of course, I'm there helping them, you know, if they want to work on knife skills or learn how to make different sauces. And then at 5 o'clock, they each have a guest show up, and Jane and I and the four couples sit down to a six-course meal.
Oh, wonderful!
And those are a lot of fun. It's really it's interesting to see how you can take four people who have never met before, and by the end of the day, they are the best friends and are trying to schedule the same class for next year with the same group of people, and it really, really brings them together.
Oh, it sounds like fun. Ken is up here with a question for us. So let's go to Ken. Hi, Ken.
Hi, it's Kent. And you had a caller that talked about he wanted to do steaks that were grilled on the outside and then more medium on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he goes to Alton Brown's website, mm-hmm. he has a great recipe for steaks that we've been doing for about a year and a half now. But in essence, what you do is you've got a cast iron skillet, mm-hmm. and you put it in the oven and you get it up to 500 degrees, which is exactly what you were talking about before. And then you take your steak and you put oil, salt, and pepper it. And then you take the skillet out, put it on the stovetop at a high. And you brown it for about 30 seconds on one side, brown it 30 seconds on the other side, and then you throw it back in the oven with the skillet for 2 minutes, and then you turn it over for another 2 minutes, and you take it out, and you cover it with aluminum foil off the grill for about 2 minutes, and it's ready to go. And it's nice and crisp on the outside, and the inside can be anything you want.
Oh, well, what do you think, Wave?
Sounds like it would work.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Thanks very much, Kent, for calling. Appreciate your call as well. And you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 with your question or with your comment. We'd love to hear from you as we talk about Cooking Today and Restaurants with Wave Kasparik of the Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello, Wisconsin. You've spent the last year or so working on a cookbook.
I have. It is quite an interesting project because I've never done anything like this before. So I started a little over a year ago, and I guess kind of in essence I started about 13 years ago with these are recipes of the restaurant, not just from the menu, but from cooking classes and just other recipes I've messed around with. So I think I'm on track, hopefully, to be published in about a year.
Okay.
I hope.
So it's a ways to go yet.
Yeah, it's a learning experience, and I think I had contacted a few local publishers early on just to kind of see, you know, where do I need to start with this project, and they said, well, what are your aspirations with this? I said, well, not to make any money and to use it as a public relations tool, and they said that's a very good attitude.
Well, and Therese Allen's been working with you a little bit on it?
Yeah, she's doing the editing for me, and she's wonderful. She's very good at working with someone who's not very computer savvy because it's all done electronically, and she has been a great help.
Well, I tell you what, we'll be looking forward to that coming out. And just to remind everybody, our guest today, Wave Kasparik, is chef and owner with his wife Jane of the Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello, Wisconsin, celebrating 13 years of business coming up pretty darn soon now. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. We would love to hear from you here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking wonderful food today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, Southwest Cajun food, French food, Wave Kasparik, who is chef and co-owner with his wife Jane of the Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello, Wisconsin, with us today. It'll be 13 years this fall since they opened their doors of the dining room. Been a wonderful business for them, and they produce some fantastic food, as I was just able to sample here over our little news break. And I'm going to talk with him about the food that he brought a little food with him today. Talk with him about that, but also answer your questions about cooking and about French food, Southwest, Cajun food. Give us a call also about his classes that he teaches as well. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And Wave, you brought a fabulous lunch for me. You have a salmon cucumber salad that is just absolutely great.
Yeah, we serve that as an appetizer. It's cold cooked salmon with cucumber, a little fresh mint, and it's in an Indian curry vinaigrette. We serve that over baby spinach with some quinoa also. And brought some...
Smoked rainbow trout.
Yeah, smoked rainbow trout on blini with a little creme fraiche and capers and some peanut butter mousse. And there might be some chocolate tart with raspberry sauce left, although...
I'm not sure. I'm telling you right now, if the Wisconsin Public Radio crowd is enjoying the food that Wave brought, and I'm looking out now with envy at all these all my colleagues who are now dining as well. I had a chance to eat some of that, and I'm telling you, it's wonderful. Well, the classes that you teach. Well, before I ask that question, I want to give our listeners a chance to get on. And David and from the Twin Cities in Minnesota is online, so let's go to David. David, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I've been in the restaurant business myself, and I took note of the comment at the beginning of the show when your guest was asked, you know, do you want to open a restaurant? He said, you know, no, I don't. And I know it's not because he wasn't interested in cooking great food and being hospitable to people, but the restaurant business is a tough business. And my experience, one of the toughest things is getting good people, you know. So I was interested in his thoughts on that, you know, for kitchen staff, or if he can talk about the wait staff. You know, what kind of qualities does he look for? Is it in the people that he hires? What's a dependable employee? And does he have trouble keeping good people working for him? Because that's the only way to stay good, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the first comment you said about it can be a hard business, it absolutely can be a hard business. And we, when we opened, we wanted to make sure we had a life outside of work, because we'd been in other restaurants where you're in management and your job is what is what you do constantly. We are only open for dinner four nights a week, just Wednesday through Saturday. It was totally a quality of life issue for us. We, even though we are closed Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you know, there's still a little bit of, you know, ordering and maintenance and whatnot to do, but we love to golf and we love to watch football on Sundays, and I don't think we'd still be married if we were open 7 days a week. So that, first off on that, and as far as getting help, we, I don't know, we are the luckiest restaurant owners in the world, I think, because we have staff that has been with us, some of our staff, since day one. My sous chef, we hired when he was 14 years old as a dishwasher, and Jimmy went to culinary school and is almost 22 and can hold down the fort if I'm not there. And, you know, we hire dishwashers, local high school kids, when they're freshmen or sophomores, and they don't leave until they go to college. And we're just, I guess we're nice people to work for. I don't know. But so we've been, you know, we try not to burn out. Obviously, we will do extra events, the cooking classes, extra parties on days that were normally not open. But it's been working out fine. I always say we're not getting rich, but we're very happy.
Yeah. There you have it. Thanks, David. Appreciate the call. Tom in Whitewater, we're on to you now. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Great show. Always like cooking shows.
Thank you.
Regardless of what whether it's Cajun or what have you, the question really evolves around pork chops.
All right.
Every now and then we'll go to a restaurant and the pork chops are magnificent. And sometimes they don't tell us how they cook them. We've looked at Cook's Illustrated. We watched other things, what have you. We have put them in salt water, in a brine. We've bought different cuts. And on the whole and on the average, I'd say our experience has been good but not great. Is there a secret to really great pork chops?
Well, I think, first of all, you don't want to overcook them. You know, that is just going to dry out the meat. You can undercook pork a bit. I mean, pork tenderloin, you can definitely serve medium. I love it that way. It keeps it definitely a lot juicier. And you had mentioned brining, which I love to do, especially with pork, pork tenderloins in particular. And I think that really helps give the texture of a meat a more tender quality. And also you can add some fun different flavors in there also with your brine. You could put a little maple extract or some different seasonings or spices, and that can really enhance the flavor of the pork chops. But I think all in all with pork, you don't want to overcook it till it's really dry. I think that's probably kind of the main key.
You have a cut that you would recommend? I mean, my brother just bought fabulous looking pork chops, but by the time we got done with them, they were and we cooked them real slow and steamed them, but they were still pretty dry because when they came, there wasn't much fat on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess, look, you know, if you're going to buy some, look for some good marbling in them. I like the ones that are probably a little thicker. And I like to do them over a higher heat. Get a good sear on them on the outside so you kind of get some color, or you can throw them on the grill, get some good grill marks, and that'll help seal in the juices also.
Okay, we're getting out the salt now.
All right. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, pork is hard because, well, it's easy to overcook it. Mm-hmm. And we've been trained over the years to, you know, not have, you know, any redness showing at all in pork.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, that was back before I was alive.
Yeah, that's like 40 years, 50 years ago when...
when they were worried about trichinosis. And, yeah. But nowadays, it's almost non-existent, really.
Yeah. Well, we'll take some more calls. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 with your question or comment. Let's turn to Jimmy in Madison next. Hi, Jimmy.
Hello there, Larry. By the way, this is not Jimmy the sous chef.
I recognize that.
As Wade clearly knows. But I and my wife and other friends have eaten there a couple times and gone to several of the cooking classes. And I cannot say anything but great things for their food. The cooking classes are truly enjoyable, where you get, 10 or 12 people in the kitchen with Wave, and he shows you all these techniques. But they're really great. And then, of course, afterwards, you can eat what Wave cooks, including that peanut butter mousse, which is great. But I would say that if your listeners have not had a chance to enjoy the restaurant down there, they ought to give it a try. It is truly remarkable. And, again, the cooking classes are wonderful. Probably the only thing that Wave and I would disagree on is beer he drinks, but I'll leave that out of it.
Okay, now I know what Jimmy this is.
I only have one question, and then I'll get off the line here. Wave, because of your heritage, what's your favorite Polish dish?
Polish sausage. My grandfather always made it for holidays. So on Thanksgiving and Christmas, we always had Polish sausage.
Well, now you know what my next request will be. My group doesn't always go along with me, but that's what I'd like. So I'll let you go to other listeners, but truly, it's a wonderful place, and Wave is a great teacher. And if you have an opportunity to take a class, you should do it. And Jane is wonderful. She's a great bartender, and they have a great friendly little bar down there along with the restaurant. So you all should take your chances. So thank you very much, both Larry and Wave.
Thanks. Thank you, Jimmy, for calling. Appreciate that call. It's funny. You must make great friendships with these cooking classes, if nothing else.
We absolutely do. Because a lot of times when I'm at the restaurant before we open, you know, doing prep work and getting the food ready for the night, I'm the one answering the phone, so taking reservations. So a lot of times I know the last names and these voices of these people. But not always. I don't always get to meet them face-to-face. So the cooking classes have been great. Absolutely, to meet new friends and acquaintances, it's really nice.
Well, an anonymous emailer wanted to remain anonymous, wondering where is the cheese bread appetizer, which is not on the current menu. What's that story?
We had an appetizer on our menu since day one. We called it Wisconsin cheese bread. There was a gentleman from New Glarus who baked this bread, this four cheese bread. We'd slice it and we'd put, we had a local Swiss and Havarti that we'd melt on it, and we served it with sauteed mushrooms and this roasted and pickled garlic.
Mm.
Well,
sounds pretty good.
And it wasn't the most exciting thing on the menu, but for first timers, it was kind of a good starter thing. And Lynn, who baked the bread for us, moved out of state.
Oh.
And I think March or April of this year. And so I thought, well, I don't consider myself much of a baker, and I wasn't going to mess around with trying to duplicate his bread. And we just made a real smooth transition, didn't tell anyone. So every once in a while, we'll have people come in like, oh, the cheese bread's not on the menu. What, what are we going to have? You're going to have to try something else. So if Lynn moves back to state and he starts baking for us again, then we will most likely bring it back on or at least feature it as a special once in a while.
All right. There you have it. Dan in Plymouth, we turn to you next. Hey, Dan, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'd like to comment about this guy that called in about dry, tough pork chops.
Yeah.
I like to have I'm a retired butcher, and I like to cut my pork chops just a strong inch thick and get them off the rib end, where there's that two muscle piece of meat, and And as far as preparing them, prepare them almost like a steak. Get them good and brown on the outside, and then like almost turn the burner off after that, or turn the, you know, and just let it cook slower after that, and not too long. I guess that's about all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. All right. That and Wave, you agree with that?
Yeah, I know what he's saying by that rib end of the pork, the chop, where it's got the two colored muscles. One of them's going to be a little darker pink, and that's definitely the more tender end of it. So,
what do you in terms of local? We were talking about cheese earlier with Jeannie Carpenter. Do you use a lot of Wisconsin artisan cheeses, or maybe I should just expand that to say local food products?
Yeah, we do use a handful of local products. Not the whole menu, but we've in our area we have a woman in New Glarus who grows our salad greens and fresh herbs for us. We have a local elk farm, a local bison farm that we get elk and bison from periodically, and of course, being in Greene County, cheeses. We use the Hook's 7-year cheddar. We have an after dinner cheese plate. We use Crave Brothers cheese, also Hook's blue cheese, and I forget what the last one was. Anyway, but we always use all Wisconsin cheeses. You know, asparagus in the spring and early summer. So kind of here and there, but not
100%.
Not
100%. But you try to use as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have an email from Alexis, who says she'd like to say thank you to you, Wave. It was a year ago, June, when her husband and she celebrated their wedding with a wonderful dinner reception at the dining room. We were able to spend an intimate evening with 22 close friends and family. Could not have been any better. Jane was an amazing host, and Wade, wow, the food was fantastic.
Well, that's always good to hear.
When you're cooking for a group like that, that's a sort of a different kind of prep than when you're doing sort of individual dinners. How do you plan that and do that?
Well, we have more hands in the kitchen. So usually with larger groups, sometimes we may need to limit the menu, which is always a fine thing, usually to 3 or 4 choices. But it's just we've got really good systems and got to execute it, so when the food comes out, it goes right in front of the guest and doesn't sit under the heat lamp for 5 minutes. In fact, I don't even know why we have a heat lamp sometimes, because the food doesn't sit there.
Well, something that the dining room is noted for is its fabric.
Yeah,
side.
When I say we, I don't mean me. We decorate in textiles. My mother-in-law is an avid and very talented knitter, and has many connections in the textile community throughout the U.S. and world. It boggles my mind. And so when we first opened, we didn't know what we were going to decorate with. We were doing, you know, paintings or who knows what. She said, well, why don't we do textiles? So our first show was my mother-in-law, Ruth, was her, some of her knitted items. And since then, she's got some friends that help her find different artists to have their things shown. Right now we've got quilts. They're doing a barn quilt tour in Greene County, and we've got some of those samples up. We've done knitted lace. We've done a show by all men knitters, Navajo rugs, weaving with sewing thread. It's really amazing. And sometimes the art is for sale, or part of it is for sale. Sometimes there's shows where none of it is for sale, but we always decorate in textiles about 3 or 4 shows a year.
And that's got to be, I mean, when you're in a restaurant business, the whole business of marketing and providing a unique and great experience for people, that always has to be in your head, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, you can get complacent because you're in there and you're behind the scenes and you're very comfortable there. And you always have to remember that these guests are coming in and they're dropping this amount of cash, mm-hmm. and they want and expect and get great service, great food. So you really have to keep thinking of that on the end of where you're comfortable at the restaurant and you have guests who may have come in for the first time. You know, say, okay, we need to wow these people because we don't do a lot of advertising, and word of mouth really is kind of our advertising. Mm-hmm. We do a weekly email list that we send out, like the weekly special or if we're going to be closed for a private party or something like that, but not a lot of paid advertising. So
it's a constant, does it worry you? Do you ever get, you think, oh man, what if nobody shows up for dinner?
Well, in the early years, it was absolutely like that because being a new business starting out, and now we'll have nights, middle of winter, it's snowing. Okay, I don't blame anybody for not coming out. And it's where we're located, it's pretty predictable, our business patterns throughout the year, although we're always trying to improve those. I can always say that May is always our busiest month, and it always is our busiest month. I guess it worries me at times, but
yeah. I wanted to ask, you talked a little bit, and this is one other thing I wanted to follow up on. You talked a little bit about some of the staff. You didn't mention the wait staff that you have. And what kind of training, do you sit down with your folks every day and talk, or, the days that you're open and talk about the food? Is there a lot of training that goes on ahead of time?
Well, our three waiters that we have, the newest one has been with us for 9 years. So not a whole lot. We've got a bartender that has been with us a little over 2 years, and she's cross-training into waiting tables here and there to alleviate some pressure now and then. I'd say that the ones that we have to train most frequently is our busing staff, which is our high school kids. But they stay with us for 3 years and then go off to college. So, and we try and take these young 14, 15 year olds and try and teach them some life lessons along the way also, they get to come to work in a nice place. They get to dress up in nice clothes.
Yeah.
They're working around wonderful food and learning really good, service techniques. And the bussers are, once they're trained and up and running, they almost do all the waiting on the tables. They serve the food and clear and reset and all that. So they're great kids.
Oh, man, it sounds like it. Well, tell us about your website.
209main.com. And we have on there, although I must admit I don't go at our website very often, but we have our current menu on the website. And you can also click on the menu items and a photograph will come up so you can see what the food looks like. We've got some recipes with our weekly email list. We send out a recipe about once a month, and those are archived on the website also, so you can take a look at those. You can look at our current and past textile shows. Those
That's
textile
some beautiful
shows,
yeah,
are all archived on there.
Well, I tell you what, it's always a great experience to be able to visit with you, Wave, and to taste your wonderful food. It's great. And I thank you so much for being with us. Again, Wave Kasparek, chef and co-owner with his wife, Jane, of the Dining Room at 209 Main Street in Monticello. And it's www.209main.com. 209main.com. And that's the number 209, main.com. And take a look at their website, and you're going to be pleased with what you see. I'm pretty sure of that. It's always fun to talk with him, and we'll have him back. We'll do it again. And just to let you know, coming up tomorrow, another show, of course, Game-Changing Technologies. Jim Sims of the Western Business Roundtable will be our guest to talk about that with us. And then at 11:45, we'll talk about Wisconsin's First Citizens with Tom Plager, Dean and Professor of History at UW-Sauk County Baraboo. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Net.